morning. I want to thank the church for its hospitality and providing us a place to stay and come up here. I want to thank God for the traveling grace that He provided for us all the way up, and pray He does the same on the way back.
Amen.
I would like to say that it's bittersweet seeing your new pastor. He is my cousin. These last few months since I got called to preach, I have been growing very close to him. But you are gaining a good under shepherd for your fold. I want to thank God that He's still calling pastors, still calling preachers.
Amen.
That tells me that His work is not done. But I do want to thank you again for your hospitality, for what you showed my family. My kids have had a blast. The first time I got to stay in a hotel, so they've exceeded every benefit of a hotel. So, I would like to say before I get started, if you don't know me, my name is Tim Spurgeon. I am the second. My dad is back there. He is Tim Spurgeon Sr., I guess is what I can call him now. I got saved when I was a little boy. I can't remember the day, but I know what He did for me. I could take you to that place. I could show you exactly where it was. God has never let me forget that, and I don't believe He ever will. And I want to thank God for that. I ask that you guys start praying for my kids, because they're going to need a Savior one day. And I ask that you... It's never too early to start praying for their salvation.
That's right.
And they need it desperately. This world needs more of God, more of His people.
Yeah, that's right.
And I pray that, and we pray for our leadership. I'm just very thankful for God this morning.
Yeah.
Good.
For His guidance, for His helping hand, and He's very dear to me, and He's more in my life than I give Him credit, more than I see. And I'm glad when He gives me those little glimpses of when I get to see Him. And I pray that I look for those more often. I also want to share, when I got called to preach, it wasn't very long ago, it was actually back in March. I got called to preach, and I thank God that, you know, at first, I never wanted to become a preacher, I'll say that. I never wanted that burden. I was lining up to be a deacon. Southside was actually going to start making me a deacon, and then the Lord had a different plan.
Right.
And I'm glad that I listened to that plan.
Right.
And He's blessed me. In the few sermons I've gotten to preach, He's blessed me dearly. I pray that I just hope that I can preach what He has and what He's shown me. I pray that I can get all that out. I know I could not get it all out sometimes, but He's just shown me so much. And I pray that it touches your hearts, that it applies to your life, and that He just takes it there, just takes it from there. But if you would get in your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 9, that's where we're going to start our reading. We're going to start in the 51st verse of Luke chapter 9. And it says, "And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they went and returned into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, and they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, 'Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did?' But he turned and rebuked them and said, 'You know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me go first. Go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I'm going to stop right there. You know, at the beginning of this scripture, his disciples are wanting to call down fire on these Samaritans. But what they've done is they've turned away from God and they just wanted to start taking matters into their own hands. God wants our total obedience.
Amen.
And only that. Not putting our two cents into things and questioning why. And he wants our total obedience. It wasn't their place to try to rain down fire on these people because they're no different than these people. You know, we look at sinful people. We got to realize that we are also sinful people.
That's right.
What are we? We're just sinners saved by grace if you've been saved.
Amen.
But you still sin. And you still have to repent. That is always going to be a daily walk in the walk of Christ, trying to follow Him. To be obedient to Him is to examine yourself every single day to try to rid yourself of the old man so you can live out the new one that He put inside of you. But it's more than just that. It was these men, they were trying to come and to follow Him. And Jesus asked them, He says, I don't have a place to lay my head. You know, foxes, all these animals, they have places, but I do not. And that burdened one of the persons that was trying to follow Him. And, you know, he was going out doing the work of the Father. And, you know, wherever he stayed, it was because the Father provided it. Wherever he ate, the Father provided it. Are we no different?
Yeah.
Everything we have, the Lord has provided it.
Amen.
Whether we see it as that or not, God allows you to breathe.
Yeah.
If you can't breathe, you can't do nothing. God has provided every single thing for you. And all that he asks is to follow him and be obedient. And then another one comes and he says, Well, first, let me go and bury my father. It's hard to look at those things and be like, what did he do wrong? The thing that he did wrong is he put that in front of God. He told him to go and preach the kingdom of God because that is what's important. That is what's needed. The dead are dead. They're gone. They're with God or they're somewhere else. We're out trying to get the next soul. We're out trying to get the kingdom of God out there to the rest of the world. That is our forefront. That is his work and his will. You know, oftentimes in my life, I sit there and I act like I don't know where my help comes from. We all know where our help comes from. That's God.
Yes.
He is the true help. The one that we rely on. And he was talking about a man that if you have your hand on the plow and you're working and you're constantly looking back, you're not putting your trust in him. You're worried about what you can do. You're worried about what the harvest is going to look like behind you. You're worried that if you planted the seed right, all God commanded you to do was plant the seed and he'll bring the increase. He'll bring the watering. He'll bring the harvest in his time, in his perfect time. He didn't say to go and just keep constantly looking back. No, he said to just go, just keep pressing forward. One verse I'm going to read you is 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Are you still fighting your old self? I'm a pretty young man. I'm 26 years old. I'm constantly fighting my old self. I have a lot of friends that I don't see anymore because they've succumbed to their old selves. And it's hard. It's a daily walk. To crucify your flesh is a daily task. It's hard. But it's a requirement. It's putting that same trust that you put in Him to save your soul every single day without waver. And you know, I'm not, you know, we all make mistakes. We all, whether we like it or not, we have sin that we need to repent of. But don't you just love that God is such a loving and forgiving God that He'll do that?
Amen.
If you ask.
Try.
And I sometimes ask myself, do I have like a vision problem? Because I know God is always right there, but yet I don't act like it. And most of the time, I don't even try. I know He's always there, but He's never my first answer. Not all the time. And I ask myself, well, why do I do that? It's because I'm succumbing to my old self. I'm succumbing to this flesh that I'm not crucifying like I should every day. You know, the next place I want to turn to is in Genesis. You'll turn to Genesis 19. I'm only going to read a few scriptures there, but if you know the story about Lot and his wife, but Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah was a very wicked city. Very, very wicked. But it's sad to say that our world is not so much different.
That's right.
I'm going to start reading in verse 15 of chapter 19 of Genesis. And it says, verse 12. "And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind me, neither stay in thou in all the plain. Except escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O not so, my Lord, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy which thou hast showed unto me, and saved my life, and I cannot escape from the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now the city is near to flee unto, and is a little one, O let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live?" I'm going to stop right there for now. We're going to read a couple of verses later. One thing that I never really looked at that God showed me about Lot was a very sinful man as well. Something that I never really took into consideration was, you know, Lot was a descendant of Abraham. And God had made a promise to Abraham that his seed would live on. It wasn't because of what Lot had done that he was being saved. It was because of the promise that he made to Abraham. Your prayers will go a long way. You may never see the fruition of your prayers, but God hears your prayers. And one thing that really stuck out to me, and you know, it was Lot tried to go and witness to his son-in-laws. He says in verse 14, Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. Lot was trying to warn him. He was trying to tell him this judgment was coming. But then after that, it says, But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. They didn't take him very seriously. They didn't take his warning seriously, because how did he live his life before this? People evaluate you. They watch you. My kids, they watch me. And they learn more than I think. And then it comes out and I'm like, well, where did you figure that out? People do the exact same thing. People are watching you. And if you don't live a sanctified life and you just constantly live in your old man, people notice that. And then when you try to be a witness for God, it's not always effective. People will mock you. They'll be like, well, who are you? Like, you've always been this way. Why all of a sudden you're like this? And you lose that light that God had put within you. But even so much, we keep reading in verse 15, and it says, in verse 16 it says, and while he lingered, Lot didn't want to leave. He was pushing it off. He wasn't being proactive. He was lingering there. Because his whole life was there. Everything he'd known was there. His possessions, everything he had. And it says that the men laid hold upon his hand and upon all of his family. And they brought him out. And then they were told not to look back. Now we're going to read starting in verse 23. In Genesis 19. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zorah. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You know, when I think of this instance, I think of also when Peter was going to walk on the water to Jesus. We are commanded to follow his will, to seek out his will for our lives, to keep our vision upon him. As soon as Peter took his vision upon Jesus, what had happened? He started to sink. He started to fall. Same thing here. His wife, Lot's wife, what happened? As soon as she took her vision off the forward way, his way, and looked back, she perished. And I think so oftentimes in my own life, every time, you know, when I get closer to God, I get closer to God, and there's so many more blessings. There's so much peace. There's so much joy. But as soon as I turn around, start losing that. But then I get comfortable in that. I don't know, I can only speak for my own life. But people get too comfortable living in sin. There's no place for sin in our life. As a matter of fact, we need to get it out of your life immediately. But sin's pleasing to the eyes. Thing was Lot was going through the exact same situation. Lot's wife was going through the exact same situation. All her life was back there. Everything she had. Are you willing to give up everything you have to follow Christ? Because that's a requirement. That's you know, willing to give up everything you think you own Just to follow him is a requirement. And don't he deserve it? He gave up his son. His son willingly gave up his life so you could have eternal life. What doesn't he deserve? He deserves every minute I have, every second I have. What can I give a king? Nothing other than my total obedience.
Amen.
He's the one who matters. You know, we were created for his pleasure.
Right.
His pleasure. Not mine. His pleasure. And only for his pleasure. He is the creator God, the all-powerful, unchanging. I thank God that he's unchanged, because if he was changing, I don't believe he'd be here. I don't believe Lot would have been there. I believe if he was unchanging, it would have ended at Adam and Eve. But he's merciful. He's kind. He's loving, in a love that we can't understand. I thank God. I thank God so much for just salvation in general. I mean, just that alone, I can praise him for the rest of my life for just salvation.
Amen. Right. Amen.
But I pray that if you struggle with looking back, I pray that if you struggle with your own desires, or you have come up with the question of whether or not, like, should I pray? Should I study? Should I just talk to him? I pray that you choose those instead of the things that you want to do. I pray that I do that in my own life, because that's how I truly get closer to him and grow with him. I mean, we want to do his work. I mean, that's what we say. But do we desire that in our heart? Do we really want to do what he has for me every day? Because he does have something for me every day to do if I seek that out. Or am I constantly looking back, worried about my job, my kids, my wife, my house, all my responsibilities that he's given me? You know, one thing that I've always looked at the armor of God, and if you know about the armor of God, right? He says we need to put it on every day. But the one piece that I never thought of was, I don't have anything protecting my back. When you go into war, you worry about your back. Not typically, because everything that you're worried about is in front of you. This battle, everything is in front of us, not behind us, it's in front of us. God never put a piece of protection on my back because he's protecting my back.
Right.
Amen.
He's got everything behind me. It's what's in front of me of what I have to worry about. You know, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. I'm guaranteed right now. I'm not guaranteed another minute, but every minute I should be focusing on the battle that's ahead of me and not behind me. I pray that we start looking for all the things that God wants us to look for. That we start doing the will of his life. And I don't really know any of you, but I know my struggles. You know, I have a lot of people that I've tried to witness to at my job, at my workplace. I have a lot of guys. I'm a team leader. I have a lot of guys underneath me. And a lot of them come up to me with questions. I thank God for those open doors. I pray that you're looking for open doors and for burdens, and that you, as a body, you pick up those burdens together. God will bless you in those things. But I pray that we just keep our focus on God. God will take care of us. He is the source of our joy, our peace, our happiness. pray that we just don't look back. God never wanted you to look back.